Otherwise, you can do and you will be in the earth and on the earth. Otherwise, you can do and the earth enough.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand good before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now we trust that God will bless this solemn reading of his own word. Now by the help of God, I want to speak to you, dear soul, tonight about when time is no more, time is finished, and death has been finally conquered. I want to speak to you about the very first event in the eternal state, the very first event in the ages of eternity will be the very event that we have read about tonight in these verses from verse 11 to 15 in Revelation 20. That is the awful solemn death event of the great white throne. You know, looking at this chapter, Revelation chapter 20, we see that it is a great chapter. A great chapter concerning the final event on earth. As I said before, time will be wound up. And all man's affairs and man's history will come to an end. It's a very great chapter. It's Revelation chapter 20. But you know, it concerns a great white throne. And not only a great white throne, but a great judge. This great judge is the Lord Jesus Christ who will sit upon this throne. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. And it will take place. But the one who hung in chains and died for sinners on the cross of Calvary and rejected by men is going to sit upon this great white throne of judgment. A great judge. A great chapter. And a great white throne. And a great judge. More than that, we see that this throne will fill a great place, or indeed it will be in space. It'll hang there. It'll fill a great place. The great place that the throne will fill. I have thought. And still more, in this chapter of great things, we think of the great punishment that will be administered to every Christ rejecter, to everyone that has not been saved. For make no mistake about it, the Word of God makes it clear that only those who are unsaved, no Christian will stand before the Lord Jesus, no saved one will stand before the Lord Jesus as a great as the great judge at the great white throne. Only those who are unsaved will be there. My, that first read, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My, Revelation 20 then is about great things. A great chapter, a great white throne, a great judge will sit upon that throne. The throne will fill a great place, and it will have to do with a great punishment indeed. All who appear there, the only place they'll be able to go to will be this lake of fire forever and ever. My, very, very solemn, isn't it? Now, as I want to preach tonight on the great white throne in this meeting, I want first of all to bring before you the solemnity of the scene in verse 11. The solemnity of the scene is a solemn scene indeed. And then I want to preach not only on the solemnity of the scene, but the impartiality of the summons. The Bible tells us in verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great. Why, it doesn't matter what kind of station in life a person may have filled down here, might be a prince or a queen or a king, somebody very important or otherwise. Doesn't matter if they're not saved, the dead, small and great, shall stand before the great white throne, the impartiality of the summons. None will escape it. None will be able to hide from God. None will stay in the grave. The grave even will not hide them. Oh no. And then I wanted to think tonight about the clarity of the statement. The clarity of the statement. Why, one of the things that's going to happen at the great white throne, the word of God tells us here in Revelation 20, at the end of verse number 12, that the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their work. So books, God's records, as it were, are going to be opened. And the statements about those who are not saved and how they reacted to the gospel and opportunities that they may have spurned to get saved, it'll all be there. So there'll be no mistakes. God will act, my friend, in absolute, unerring justice and fairness. The clarity of the statement. And then not only the solemnity of the scene and the impartiality of the summons and the clarity of the statement, but I will have to preach to you tonight on the finality of the sentence. The finality of the sentence. My, there's something awful final, isn't there, about this last verse of Revelation 20. It says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. First of all then, as we look at the great white throne judgment, this last great drama as far as man is concerned, unavoidable, inescapable if you're not saved and die unsaved. You will be there. You will be there. Think with me, dear soul, tonight of the solemnity of the scene. It's a great white throne. Think of the whiteness of the throne. The purity and the holiness of God with whom we have to do. A great white throne. My, how solemn the scene is. You know, everyone that will be there, there'll be nowhere to hide. And not only that, why, dear soul, tonight, there'll be nothing even to stand on because this Bible would clearly indicate that this great white throne will not be upon earth. It'll be suspended in space between heaven and earth. It'll just hang there. And everyone that's rejected Christ, everyone that's not been saved, will stand before the great white throne. But it says they'll stand, and yet, in another sense, there'll be nowhere to stand. What I mean by that, they'll not be standing on a table or a chair or any ground. They will be held there by divine, omnipotent power. Irresistibly, they'll be there. Nowhere to hide, nothing to stand on. And not only that, there'll be no protest that will prevail with God. My, could I convey to you what it will mean for the sinner, for the unsaved to be there? Looking upon the stern, solemn face of the Lord Jesus, whom you have despised, the blessed man of Calvary, who suffered for you, who shed his precious blood, who died in your room and in your stead, and was wounded for your transgression, but you never came to him, you never trusted him, you neglected his great salvation, you weren't really touched and moved by the sufferings of Christ to the extent that you indeed came to him and fled to him for the refuge for your soul to be saved. Oh, the unsmiling face of the Son of God. Oh, what it will mean for those eyes, all searching, all penetrating, the eyes of the Lord Jesus to gaze upon you and through you. All camouflage will be no good. All pretense will have been stripped away. No possibility of deceiving this one.
You say,
if not, you'll be there, I can guarantee you that. And nothing that you can do will ever prevent it.
Uh-huh.
Yes, indeed, it's a very, very, very solemn scene. So much so, look, the Bible tells it in verse 11, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away.
My, it goes on to say,
and there was no
place.
There was found no place for them. You know, when my Savior came to the earth to die for poor sinners, and when he was born at Bethlehem, we read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, that there was no room in the inn for them, no room in the inn for the Savior of sinners. He was in the outside place.
No room.
No room for the Lord Jesus on earth when he came.
Ah, but what a change when time is no more, my friend.
And when the Lord Jesus Christ as the great judge will sit upon this great white throne, earth that had no time for him, and that had no room for him, from whose presence of face, the Bible says, as he sits upon the throne, the earth and the heaven will flee away. The impact and the effect of the very presence of Christ in all his deity and majesty.
How solemn indeed, believer.
Don't you tremble, dear one, tonight, those of you that are not saved, those of you that have heard the gospel so many, many times, those of you tonight who are in your sins and going down to hell, don't you tremble at the very thought that your sins already have kindled a flame that will never, never go out in the lake of fire. Don't you tremble at the very thought that you will have to stand before the Lord Jesus as a judge at the great white throne, and you can't escape it. And to this solemn scene you are certainly going and bound, let alone eternal fire and separation from God, but before that you'll be there.
What a solemn scene it is.
Why, I don't care how solemn the scene of earth may be from time to time. You may have been at many a solemn scene that has moved you or caused you to be somewhat afraid.
But I tell you, there's nothing to compare to the solemn, solemn scene.
When the great white throne is set up, and when the Lord Jesus Christ will judge every sinner, everyone that's not saved, and they'll all be there.
Oh, can I get over to you at the solemnity? Oh, I was thinking tonight, I read a story many years ago, and referred to even years before that, of how a man saw a horse, a little carriage, and suddenly the horse looked, as you say, over here, and bolted, and ran out of control. This was many years ago, and it was down the main thoroughfare in the city, and why this man, with quickness and alertness, he could see the danger, he could see what might happen, he could see the serious injury, or the fatal injury, and he rushed out from the sidewalk, and he literally jumped upon that horse, and pulled the rein, and somehow or other, he managed to stop that horse in a few yards, and save that young man. Do you think you look at? You can understand how dreadful that young man is.
And what he would think of that man who rescued him.
But you know, some years rode that horse.
And sadly, that same young man, he committed a grievous crime. And he had to go to the law court.
And who should be sitting on the bench?
Sitting in judgment upon him.
Why?
The very man who just a few years before had delivered him from an almost certain death or serious injury. And you know, that young man reminded the man on the judgment throne or seat in the law court, reminded the man of that. He said, you know, you saved my life a few years ago, and I'm so grateful. Can't you help me now? Can't you have a bit of sympathy for me now? Oh, he did his best to plead with the man.
Quite rightly and solemnly, the man said this.
He said, young man, a few years ago when I rescued you, I was your savior.
But now I am your judge.
Let this not make you think as you sit in the gospel meeting tonight, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, who loved you, who died for you, who shed his precious blood, who through his finished work at Calvary can atone you for your sin, and can fix you for heaven, and can deliver you from going down to the lake of fire, or ever being there at the great white throne. Does it not make you serious tonight about your own soul, salvation, and where you're going to be? Does it not make you urgent about salvation, my friend? To think that the one whom you reject as Savior, and if you went out of time and died, having never acknowledged him and accepted him as your Savior, then you'll have to meet him as your judge.
The great white throne.
And then it will be too late. Oh, it's no good then saying, well, I sat in a gospel meeting. It's no good then saying, you know, I sang the gospel hymn, and I knew the way of salvation, and I read my Bible.
Without time you were saved.
Tomorrow may be too late. The Lord may have come and fulfilled his promise in John 14, I will come again. You could be lost and lost forever. Oh, no wonder the Word of God says it is time to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is here.
Oh, think of the solemnity of the scene of the great white throne.
I want you to think for a few moments of the impartiality of the Son. Why, what does the Bible say?
I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I see the impartiality of the Son.
Yes, every Christ rejecter, doesn't matter how deep the religious they were down here, doesn't matter, my friend, how sincere they were down here, doesn't matter how many good works they went in for and depended upon down here, doesn't matter what church they were a member of down here,
if they were never saved, never seen. They'll be summoned at the great white throne. They'll be there.
The judge will be impartial. The great white throne judgment itself will be impartial.
The day, morn, and
whoever they were on earth, however great they might have been, however small they might have been, many of them might have been dead for centuries and forgotten about and never known by this world.
The Word of God says the dead, small and great, stand before God. God. You are loving. And will be earth the very one. You know, when Christ comes back to the earth in all His glory, the head of His kingdom, you are God, unfaithful, in your grave. You know, you'll miss this wonderful glory in the lending grave. So, you'll not know.
You will still, sinner, lie in your grave. Will still be there, and not until the end of that 1,000 years will you come forth, says the Lord Jesus in John 5, verse 28 and 29, unto a resurrection, not of life, but unto a resurrection of judgment. Ah, I hope you understand tonight that the Bible, the Word of God, nowhere ever gives a hint or gives the slightest teaching that, you know, Christendom talks about one general resurrection, a resurrection of all men at the same time. When we look into the Word of God, in the words of Christ Himself, in John 5, 28 and 29, it's clear from His own words. One for believers, any believers that have died, will come forth unto a resurrection of life, says the Lord Jesus. Only to the saints in the grave will rise when the Lord comes, and they'll meet Him in the air at the rapture. But for sinners who die and who are in the grave,
they'll come forth unto a resurrection of
I wonder, dear soul, young man, young girl in the gospel meeting tonight, which resurrection are you going to take part in? Are you going to take part in a resurrection unto life as a believer in Christ, trusting in the finished work of Christ at Calvary, or are you going to come forth, oh, I tremble at the thought, may it not be?
The resurrection. Two resurrections separated in time. By a leap in the lens. One. I say, dear soul, without time.
The dead, small and great, shall stand before God.
the impartiality. Everyone will be someday death with Christ, never be born again to the state of God and sin.
Yes, the solemnity of the season. The impartiality of the Son.
What about the courage of the sick?
The books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works.
What is the book of remembrance, my friend, of the conduct of every man?
The stains of men, the secrets of men, and the sins of men. I repeat, the stains of men, the secrets of men, and the sins of men
are all recorded there.
There'll be no miscarriage of justice.
Oh no.
The sentence of the judge who sits upon that throne will not be arbitrary. It rests, you see, it will rest upon written evidence. So that the unsaved that will be summoned there will have no excuse. The evidence will be there, condemning them.
2020 very solemn that God rise upon you.
Everything that you have said and everything that you have done is recorded down.
Oh, I mean, not the little book that you understand. This is the language of the Bible to get over to you, my friend. God has his blessing.
And God will never, never forget.
Charity of the sick. There be no error, my friend, in these books.
Nothing will need to be rubbed out from these books. Or changed. God himself will have
authority of sin. Another book will be opened at the great white throne. I want you to think about this tonight.
Not only the book of the record of your life,
but the book of the precious Word of God. The Word of God.
You know what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48. Listen to this. I quote his solemn word. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judges him. The same word which I have spoken unto him shall judge him. By the Savior there in John 12 verse 48, he is referring doubtless to this solemn scene of the great white throne when he will sit upon that throne and judge. And he tells the people of his day, as he preached there in John 12 verse 48, there's coming a day when my word will be resurrected to you. The word that you have heard from me in the gospel, the word that you have heard from his servants in the gospel, even the word, my dear friend, that you are listening to tonight in this little gospel meeting about the great white throne.
You know that when you leave this hall, that word doesn't finish there.
Oh, you might try to blot it out of your mind and get rid of it from your conscience.
Yes, well,
Not only will you, if you're not unsaved and any unsaved, be resurrected, and be a resurrection of sinners, a resurrection of the unsaved from their grave before the great white throne. There'll not only be a resurrection of the unsaved to be there, there'll be a resurrection of the Word. That Word that the sinners have heard in the Gospel and yet have rejected will come before them and be resurrected.
Condemn them.
I have seen salvation from God. I have played the fool, and I have heard exceedingly.
Oh, don't trifle with the word of Christ in the Gospel, son.
Don't try and put it off and dismiss it. Don't try and think, well, I can and wait. I'll have another time, another chance. Maybe someday, somehow, then I'll get saved, and then I'll attend to the salvation of my soul, but could be too late.
I hope not myself up to now, but I know it not. What a day they've been for. Yes, the very word of Christ, baby. The very word of your heart. And it will condemn you. At the grey, white throne. So that not only do we have the resurrection of the unsaved sinner there, we have the very resurrection of his own precious word. You know, this puts a real solemnity into the gospel message and the preaching of the word of Christ, doesn't it?
It makes the gospel so very, very serious because
you will have to meet that word again that you have rejected. Where? Is what? I think of the words of the poet right now that I'm going to quote. Anguish or ecstasy, peace or perplexity, infinite, absolute, offered to be. Pause on the brink today. Ponder eternity. Ever, ever, ever to be. Where is it so going to be?
Is it going to soar to the heights of heaven? Or is it going to sink down to hell? Is it going to sing the song of the redeemed in the glory? Or is it going to, my friend, suffer in the lake of fire forever?
Look at this verse. Verse 13. The very last act of this sea, the great sea that God has created. What's the last thing it will do? Oh, there's many there buried in the sea. The sea is a great graveyard, you know. And of course there have been men who have thought and arranged it for their ashes to be scattered on the sea.
Thinking that they will avail the God of eternity. And if there is a judgment, that they'll avoid it.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death that claimed the body, and hell or Hades that claimed the soul, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their work. Your sins will take you to the lake of fire if you're not saved. And your works and how you've treated the message of the gospel will determine the kind of suffering you will have. Greater or less. And there are degrees of suffering.
But you know, in speaking tonight on the solemnity of the scene of the great white throne, and the impartiality of the summons, the dead, small and great, to appear there, and the clarity of the statement.
I want now to preach in the finality of the text. As I preach on this, I want to again mention the way of escape.
I want to tell you and sound out as clear as possible, my friend,
how you can be delivered from the great white throne and the lake of fire.
how your precious soul can be saved.
Oh, think for a moment of the finality of the sentence.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Oh, I said, didn't I? You couldn't get anything more final than that.
Oh, there's something awfully final about this.
The unsaved cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because their names were not in the book of life. Their names were not in the Lamb's book of life. I love the words of that hymn, you know. For grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. For grace that gave me to the Lamb, to all my sorrows.
That's the way of escape from the great white throne and ever being there. And having the word of the gospel resurrected to you and condemning you and haunting you forever in eternal separation in the lake of fire.
Of the lake of fire. Ah, this is so simple again. And yet so again. Is your name in the Lamb's book of life then? Yes, sir, I don't think it is. Well, how can it ever be put there? And I tell you, once it's put there, it'll never be erased. It'll never, 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 never be taken away. Oh, on the sands of beaches, at the seaside, men write their names sometimes. Little children write their names, have all done that, I suppose. But the waves come in, and when they leave, the name has passed away. And men today are writing their names on the shifting sands of time. But my name is in the spotless book of life. God wrote my name one day when I came to Christ. When I took it in, the Christ at Calvary died for me. And cried that great cry of victory, it is finished. And that all that was needed to do and to pay, Jesus has done in his own blessed way. Why, the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. Tell me, are you in Christ Jesus tonight? Why, the moment you believe on Christ for the salvation of your soul, God will write your name in the Lamb's book of life, and it will be there forever. And when the waves of time have settled and be no more, and even when there be no more sea, your name will be there forever. Never, never to be got again. You know, I have a preacher friend. He had a friend that had an exercise to go on one of the islands somewhere off the coast of Canada. He had an exercise to go there and preach the gospel. He'd never been there before. And he only heard or knew of one Christian there and the name. So when he finally got there, he went into the telephone, the Oscar booth, and he only had a dime left in his pocket. And he went through the telephone book. It was a name like Smith or something like that, a very well-known popular name, and he didn't know which name to pick. But he lifted his heart to God and prayed for direction, for he really wanted to contact the scriptures to tell him that he'd come to preach the gospel there. He had an exercise to preach the gospel. So he went down with his finger, looking to God, down these many names, same name as the one he wanted to contact. He didn't know which one it was, and he stopped at one, and, well, put the dime in and telephoned and got through, and a man the other end answered, and the preacher said, is your name in any other book but the telephone book? And back came the reply, yes, thank God, it's in the Lamb's book of life. He said, you're the one of them.
Well, I want to ask you tonight, is your name in the Lamb's book of life?
And the book there tonight, you know. The only way to be saved is by looking away from self and outside of self, looking to Christ, to put your place at Calvary and died in your room and in your step.
And then you'll never go to the lake of fire. Your name will be in the language of light. And you'll never know this dreadful, awful, eternal punishment, the finality of this sentence, and being in the lake of fire forever.
I'm not much given to mentioning so many stories in gospel meetings, but I just want to mention this to you. You know, I read of a simple Indian Christian saved on the way to heaven over there in India. And a white man who ought to have known better used to mock him and say, "You keep talking about salvation and being saved and going to heaven." And one day he really got quite excited at this white man, and he said to the Indian, "What do you mean by being saved? Tell me what it all means." And the Indian said, "Come outside with me, sir." "Come outside." He came outside, and I had a simple Indian Christian walking around here. And then he got some trouble, and dry grass, and then he got a map. And he said, "He set that circle of trouble, dry grass, and light. He put the little girl around the middle. It was burning and burning. And that circle of grass made it again. He was up in the plane, getting nearer and nearer and nearer all the time to that little worm struggling among them what to do."
And then just as it would seem almost that the fire was about to be upon the little worm and consume it, why?
And hold the little worm.
In danger of the fire of hell. And rescued me and put me and delivered me from going down to the lake of fire.
That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be saved, dear soul.
My, if the hand of Christ delivered you from going down, if so, you'll never go up to the great white throne and be suffered and be summoned there, or down at the lake of fire. You'll be with Christ forever.
Christ is the only safe refuge. His precious blood can atone for your sin, as I said, and take you to heaven forever. What a Savior. He's an almighty sin. Continue in your sin, dear friend, unsaved, and reject him as your Savior tonight. And it could be if you're not saved in time. You have to leave him on forever to live. What did the Lord Jesus say as I close? Listen to his precious words. John 5, verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or judgment."
That is, never be at the great white throne again.
But is part
from death to life. I want to tell you, the path from death to life is a very short journey. It doesn't take very long. And I want to tell you more. It's a safe journey. I'm always glad on these long haul trips on an aeroplane, 8 hours to come from Scotland. I was glad to get down to terra firma.
But there's nothing more safe, my dear friends, than passing from death to life.
It's a journey that will cost you absolutely nothing. Jesus paid it all. At Calvary. Cost him tonight. And the eternally saved. Shall we? Our Father in heaven, we have sought in a simple way, as best we know how, and yet feeble has been the effort we know,
to preach on this solemn subject tonight of the great white throne. We have read thy word. We have preached to those tonight who are unsaved in their sins, exposed to thy wrath, sinners that could be in hell and the lake of fire forever. O God, have mercy upon souls in the meeting. Grant, O God, that they might see their danger and understand their need. And that, O God, they might just realize that the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary has done all that is necessary and accomplished everything for their eternal salvation and deliverance from hell. Might be able to say, Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul, guilty, lost and helpless, thou canst make me whole. Grant thy blessing, we pray, in the Lord's name. Amen. And let us sing in closing, please. After this solemn meeting, let us sing 137. 137. Time is earnest passing by. Death is earnest drawing nigh. Sinner, wilt thou trifling be? Time and death have healed to thee. Verse 3 reads, God is earnest. Come today, ere thy season pass away. Ere he set his judgment throne, vengeance, ready mercy gone. You know there's a verse in Psalm 9 and 7 that says, the Lord hath prepared his throne to judge. Look at the last verse. Christ is earnest, and God for this. This become. God declares that all is done for that will take this in. Wilt thou spurn the Savior's love, even with thee from above. Just these last two verses, 3 and 4 of 1, 2, 7.